We're going to talk about our passion for Christ, and we're going to compare our passion for Christ with that of the earliest disciples. These are the earliest people that walked with the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, I want to read this to you. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves, and this is where we talk about passion. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Here we see the record of the New Testament church just starting. These are the people that turned the world upside down. There has never been another faith like the Christian faith that has lasted 2,000 years, affected literally billions of lives, and it all started with these people. These are the first converts after the apostles themselves. These are people who had rejected Christ, who may very well have been some of those saying, crucify him, crucify him. And now suddenly they hear the gospel and they really get saved. And they get zealous. It resulted in a revolution that literally changed the world. And it's continuing to change the world. And it all started right here with new believers that made it a priority in their lives to be passionate about God. They weren't half-hearted. They weren't a little bit into it. They went all the way into it. Again, I want to read Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 41. Those who accepted his message. Now, not everybody that listened accepted. There were only 300. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Extremely important for us to understand commitment. A firm commitment to any movement is what makes that movement move. I want to give you a few examples of that, because we say, well, this is the only time the church started. These people committed themselves with all their hearts, but they weren't the only ones. In 1776, the colonists signed their names to a Declaration of Independence. And this is what they signed. It says, and for the support of this declaration, and with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And that was not a cheap declaration to sign, because many of the men that signed that declaration lost everything they had financially. Many of them lost their lives. But they said, we are committed to the start of a brand new nation, and we're going to commit our lives, our money, everything to it. And it made a difference. The reason we can meet in this church today is because back many years ago, almost 300 years ago, men committed themselves to a new way of running government. George Washington could have been a dictator. He could have been a king. But he refused all that to make this a democracy, a republic. And because of that, we live the way we live today. But that's not the only one. In 1939, a group of 100,000 young Germans in brown shirts went into what was then the greatest Olympic stadium in the world. And with those brown shirts, as they sat down, they sat in a pattern that spelled out this, if you looked at it from the sky. Hitler, we are yours. Now, think about that for a minute. These men, 100,000 young men in brown shirts, said, Hitler, we are yours. And the only thing that stopped that movement was the Second World War. You don't need a huge number of people, but you get any group of people together that are totally committed to something, it'll shake the world. They're not the only ones either. It would have been in the early 1930s, a group of Chinese students took a little book called The Sayings of Chairman Mao. They memorized the book, all these students. They claimed that they were going to live by the book and they were going to die by the book. And they committed themselves to the new Communist Party. Today, almost one-third of the world's population are communists. Why? Because a group of students said, Mao, we are yours. Folks, we don't believe in communism, but we do believe in commitment. And you better believe that 100% commitment to anything can make a huge difference. So as we look at our culture, I think one of the things we need today is revival in our land, because people are not committed to the Lord the way they used to be in this nation. What would happen in our nation if we made the same commitment those early Christians made to live for the Lord with all of our hearts? When you saw revival in the nation of Israel, every time it happened, the scriptures indicate that those people that started that revival committed themselves to the Lord with all their heart. Folks, that's what it takes to make a difference. We live in a nation today that our children are almost afraid to go to school. It used to be when you went to school, you might have been afraid when I was a boy of getting into a fight and getting a bloody nose, but nobody was shooting each other. Today we live in a nation where abortion is the norm. We say, well, wait a minute, we got rid of abortion. No, in Michigan, you don't have to go to a doctor anymore. You don't have to go to a clinic anymore. You can get an abortion any place, and it doesn't have to be a doctor anymore. We have more abortions now in Michigan than we've ever had. And we live in that kind of a country because Christians have stopped being committed. In the last election, we had more Christians vote, and we got the result we wanted. The election prior to that, millions of Christians stayed home and did not vote. All that has to happen for evil to continue is for good people to do nothing. It's time for us to rise up and determine, I'm going to commit myself to Jesus Christ. I'm going to commit everything I have, all of my energy, all of my power for the kingdom of God. And if we do that, it'll change the world around us. It'll change our families. It'll change our churches. It'll change our public schools. Because why? Because the Christians are going to go and demand that the Word of God be taught. They're going to demand that prayer come back into the schools. They're going to demand the Ten Commandments go back on the walls. That's what made the difference. The schools, public schools, were run by Christians. And the school board had power. Today, the school boards, local school boards, have no power at all. Why? Because the federal government and the state governments took it all over. You can argue all you want to on a school board, but you can't do anything anymore. It used to be the school boards ran the schools. We've lost that because we don't have the commitment. I'm convinced God in this day and this hour, if his people will simply stand up and say, I'm totally committed to walking with Christ, to bringing Christ's glory, I'm going to give my whole life to it, we would change this country. It would become godly again. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You've done a foolish thing, and from now on you'll be at war. The Lord said, I want you to stomp your foot, but the man only did it 3 times. The prophet told him, stomp your foot. He should have done it many more times, but he didn't. And because he didn't get the power of God. And it didn't make a difference for the nation. I want to tell you, the Lord today is looking for men and women that are willing to fully commit themselves to the gospel of Christ, to the service of the saints, and he'll use those people to make a difference. When you compare ourselves to the early church, and you look at your commitment compared to their commitment, what do you see? If you were to say, I'm totally committed, would anybody else believe you? They believe those early Christians because they really got to work. Today, our pattern for passionate living. What are some steps we must take if we're going to be fully committed? In the book of Revelation, it doesn't talk about an individual, but it talks about one of those seven churches that the Lord said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because you're neither cold nor hot. He said, I'd rather you were just cold rather than lukewarm. Many Christians are lukewarm. Yes, I'm concerned, but I don't want it to cost me too much. I don't want to commit myself too much to working because, you know, we have other things too. Folks, we need to be careful with this. To be 100% committed to Christ will mean a real change in all of our lives. We won't stay the same. We're going to be very, very different. So number one, we need to commit ourselves to a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. I can tell you many Christians that I know that don't have a relationship with Christ. They claim to be Christians, but what they have is religion. They've never been born again. They don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. They know that he is Lord. They know that he claims to be a Savior, but he's not their Savior. Why? Because they've never committed their salvation to Christ. They still think they can earn it, whether it's through baptism or church membership or giving money or doing good works. And so they're not trusting in Christ. They're trusting in themselves. That's never going to work. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the scripture says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now, I do know many churches don't preach the gospel anymore. Many churches don't say, you have to personally receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so people can't make a commitment because they don't know they even have to. That's why it's so important to get your children, your grandchildren, into a Bible-preaching church. There's lots of churches that have a lot of entertainment for the kids. It's fun to go to those churches, but are they getting the gospel? If they're not, you might as well take them to Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, or the YMCA, because those are fun places too. We want to have churches that are on fire for Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive him," talking about Jesus Christ, "to those who believed in his name," the name Jesus means Jehovah saves, "he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God." If you've never done that, you're not a Christian. You can call yourself a Christian, but you're just a Christian in name only. It's not relationship. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You cannot get to heaven by being a Baptist, or a Lutheran, or a Methodist, or a Catholic, or Presbyterian. You get to heaven because you are a Christian. You personally have received Christ as Savior. And once you have that personal relationship, now things can change in your heart, and you can get your commitments right. But until that time, you can't do that. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord," you're confessing him as God, "and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." And so the question for everybody here tonight, have you done that? Have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? If you haven't, it's no wonder you can't be passionate about the Christian faith, because you're not a Christian. You may very well be a really good Baptist or a really good Methodist or Lutheran, but if you haven't received Christ, nothing's going to change. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." In other words, you know these things if you're a Christian. You know how you got saved. And now God wants to use you to tell people who don't know that. And the majority of the people that you and I know don't know that. I know a lot of Christians, but I know a lot more people that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. Number two, you have to commit yourself to a passionate membership in a local church. It doesn't have to be this one. It can be any that you say, "Man, those people are really trying to serve the Lord. I am going to get involved, and I'm going to be passionate about my involvement. I want to put my whole heart into my church membership." Acts 2, verse 41. "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." They formed a local church. 3,000 added. "They were baptized," meaning they submitted to Christ's command that if you've trusted in Christ, the first step after is to get baptized. The picture of baptism is, I'm dying to Jerry Larkin. Jerry Larkin's dead. I'm rising to serve Christ. Folks, that's a passionate claim. It should make a difference in our hearts. The first time I got baptized at 12 years old, I didn't know the Lord. I went through the motions of all that, but I had no commitment to Christ. But the second time I got baptized, I knew exactly what I was doing. And when I got baptized, it made a difference. And that's what the Lord wants for all of us. These believers to gather in their membership, not just on Sunday. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 44. "All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Every day. Folks, this is a commitment. Nothing in the Bible about a Lone Ranger Christianity. I can't tell you how many Christians I've known over the years that tell me, I don't go to church anyplace. When I and Dave go calling, I'm going to tell you, probably at least 10 to 15, maybe 20% of the people say, I used to go to such and such a church, but we haven't gone anyplace in years. They say they're Christians, but they're not passionate about any church. Why? Well, those churches want you to get involved. They want you to attend pretty regularly. They want you to do something. Folks, it takes passion to say, I do want to attend a regular church. I want to go often. I want to be committed. I want to get involved. I want to use the giftedness God has given me for the benefit of everybody there. That's what God's looking for. When he does that to a church and the whole church gets passionate, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen in this community or whichever community when a church really says, I want to serve God with all my heart. Folks, it won't be the first time it's ever happened. It's happened many times in our nation's history where people have really gotten on fire. And it lasts as long as people keep praying, and committing. That's what the Lord is looking for. If your grandchildren really like to go to a church and it's a lot of fun, and your children are taking them there because it's a lot of fun, make sure that they're preaching the gospel. Because a lot of churches that are really fun are just fun places. Kids have a wonderful time and they enjoy all the joy. But if they're not getting in those Sunday school classes the gospel, they're missing something. In fact, they're missing the most important thing. Number two, belong to a church for worship. Dave talked this morning about a thing he saw on the phone, and I saw it too. If you come to church and nothing's happening in your heart, there are some steps that you can take before you ever get to church. How long has it been in your own heart? How long has it been since you asked somebody to come with you? That you actually picked somebody up and brought them? Well, why should I bring them? It's nothing new. Well, there are some things new off and on, and I just want to encourage you, get excited. Belonging to a church, how long has it been since you witnessed to somebody? Anybody? How long has it been since you took some of those thousands of tracts we got out there and actually left a tract with somebody? Folks are not there for decorations. They're there for those that are committed to sharing the gospel. We need to take every opportunity we can. If you go into a public restroom, folks, do your business, but do your business for God too. Leave a tract in there. Somebody will read it. That's how I came to faith in Christ. A man at Plant 2 Saginaw Steering Gear, every time he went to the bathroom, left a tract. He left chick tracts. It doesn't have to be a chick tract, but they're good. Any tract that gives the gospel, you don't know who you're going to touch. But I'll guarantee you, you leave enough of them, you're going to touch somebody. It's going to make a difference for them. When we belong to a church, when we finally settle in and say, I really like this local church, and again, it doesn't have to be here. It can be any good Bible preaching church. And you say, I really enjoy the way they present the gospel. I like what's going on here. I want to join. And I want to get busy. That's what God's looking for. People that are committed. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Believe it or not, you have a work to do, again, whether it's this church or some other church. There's work waiting for you. God has gifted you uniquely. You have something that you can put into this church or another good church to make it grow. You aren't here by accident. And if you go to another church, that won't be an accident either. God wants to use you. Commit yourself, number three, to passionate fellowship. Fellowship is so important for the body of Christ. I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, I have nobody to fellowship with, I have no family that believes in the Lord, and I don't see anybody that's looking for fellowship. Folks, that should be us. We should be those people that are looking for fellowship with others. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So I want to bring out 3 points under this one. I want to bring out the point of maturity. Not just staying a baby Christian, but determining I want to grow in my knowledge, I want to grow in my faith, I want to grow in my service for Christ. When you're committed to that, it's going to make all the difference. I want to be committed to ministry in my local church, and I want to be committed to missions in my local area. Folks, if you stop and think, all the different churches you've been in all your life, how many people in those local churches, including this one, how many are active in their witness for Christ? It's a small number. I've never been in a church, ever, where the majority of people every week were looking for people to lead to faith. I've never seen it. I'd love to see it, because that's why we're saved. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you what? Fishers of men. Now, I'm not a great fisher for fish, but I love fishing for men. Folks, it makes all the difference, not just for a day or a week or a month. It's going to make a difference for those people's eternity. It's why we're here. We're here to win others to faith in Christ. But it takes a commitment. So it goes beyond listening to preach sermons. It goes all the way to saying, I am going to commit myself to learn how to share my faith with someone else. I'll guarantee you this, if you put your heart into it, it'll take you less than a week to learn the 4 or 5 verses that you really need to start out to lead a person to faith in Christ. The first person that I led to Christ, I knew one verse. Well, I knew more than that. I knew Psalm 23, and I knew John 3:16. The only verse I needed to lead that first young man to faith was John 3:16. I explained to him what I had done. I read that verse to him, and he said, that's what I want to do. Folks, you don't have to be a genius to do this. You just have to have a commitment in heart that I'm going to be actively looking for people to lead to faith in Christ. You can make a difference, but you have to be committed. It can't be, well, Lord, if you open every door and it doesn't take too much strain and I don't have to put too much time into this, I guess I'll try to lead somebody to faith. Folks, it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some getting off the couch and turning off the TV and getting out there where the people are. Maybe it's an involvement in the youth program downstairs here. There are boys and girls that get led to faith through the Sunday school downstairs. Maybe it's time to add another worker. I don't know where your call is, but I do know this, you are called to service. We are called to commit ourselves to sharing the love of Christ, not just a witness, but the actual love of Christ. In John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. When you come to the definition of God's love, it's a self-sacrificing love. People aren't going to know that you love one another just because you say we love one another. When they see you actually sacrificing for another member of the body, they're going to say, look how those people love one another. That's what the early church did. They actually sold property. Now, probably not all their property, but if they had excess, they would sell some, and they would use it to meet the needs of others in their churches. It does come with a sacrifice. They had a ministry that they got involved in. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Suppose when people came here, they saw somebody get offended by somebody else in our congregation. And instead of that person that got offended, say, wait a minute, they saw that person respond in love and overlooked the fault. They would say, wow, something's different about this church. Often in churches, people get so touchy. Everything has to be exactly the way I want it, or I can't get along with these kind of people. Folks, if you're ever going to get along, you're going to have to learn to overlook, because we offend each other. We all look at life differently. We have to learn these things. The last of all is mission. You are on mission for Christ. If you have trusted Christ, you're no longer your own. You were bought at a price. And God says, now I want you to use your body to glorify Him. I want you to use your mouth, your hands, your feet, everything about you to bring Him glory. We need to commit ourselves to a passionate lordship of Jesus Christ. He wants to be Lord of every part of all of our lives, not just part of it. He wants a total commitment. You are Lord, and I am going to live in exactly the way you tell me I ought to be living. In Acts 2:45, it says, they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Jesus was Lord of their lives, and everything they owned belonged to God. Now, that doesn't mean you have to give it all. But suppose the Lord were to say to you, tomorrow, I want you to give your car to so-and-so. What would you respond? Wait a minute. I worked a long time to get that car. But who gave you the strength to work? God did. Is that car yours or is it God's? Is everything you have at God's disposal, or do you have certain things that, no, God, you can't touch that. I'm going to need that. Folks, you see, commitment comes with a price tag. When we say in our hearts, everything I have is God's, God may very well say to you, then I want to use it over here. Wait a minute. That's my retirement money. Lord, Lord, could He take care of you in retirement if He wanted to? Yes, He could. Could He take away everything you have anyhow if you don't do what He wants you to do? Yes, He can. I would much rather be in the center of God's will and lose it all than try to hang on to it and lose my walk with God. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You should always be ready, because you don't know when somebody's going to say, Mimi, why are you the way you are? Why do you act the way you act? Why are you kind? And Mimi can say, it's because I committed myself to Jesus Christ as my Lord. He changed my heart. Folks, that's what we're looking for. That's what God is looking for. When we come to church, they weren't worried, the early church, about what somebody else was doing. They had their eyes on Christ, and they wanted to serve Him with all their heart. They were committed. They were passionate. I just want to ask you today, are you committed to Christ? Are you passionate about Christ? Or are those words you'd say, well, I don't know if I'd use passionate. I like him a lot. I think he's pretty wonderful. But to really say I'm absolutely, positively committed, and you wonder why isn't the church effective today like it used to be? It's because very few today are willing to commit themselves with all their heart to anything. Not only just to a nation or to their own family, but very few are willing to commit themselves with all their heart to Christ. He died for you. He shed his blood for you because he loved you. And yet we say, well, Lord, I'll serve you when it's convenient. And as far as the local church, I'll go when it's convenient to me, but I'm not going to make any commitments to be there on a regular basis. And as far as serving in the local church, Lord, you know how busy I am. How could I possibly take time to watch the kids? How could I possibly cut the grass? Lord, I've got so much going on. So what is your commitment like to Christ? And does it match the early Christians' commitment? Does it even match what the Lord himself says he wants you to do? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I've said many times as I've been here, next to John 3:16, in my view, these are the two most important verses in the Scriptures. These are the most important to a Christian. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Folks, have you committed yourself to God that way? Is he truly Lord of your life? Are you passionate? It's something only you can answer. And if it's not yes, it can change. Any Christian, any time, can make a full commitment of themselves to God. But this one, you don't do just one time. This you have to do over and over and over. Because this world is constantly calling us away from God. You got to take time for yourself. You got to please yourself. That's the way of the world. You're 65 years old. Just retire and take it easy. Church service? No. You're way too old. You can't work with kids anymore. You can't do the books anymore. You just have to relax now. What are you going to do with the next 20 years of your life, should the Lord give you 20 more? Are you going to sit back with your feet propped up and watch television? Or are you planning on doing some active service for Christ? Your life is passing. It doesn't matter if you relax on the beach or not. Your life is passing. Make it count. It's going to count for eternity. That man, that pastor that preached and Billy Sunday got saved, he thought it was foolish. But the Lord used that to save thousands of souls. The Lord will use you, maybe with just a little girl downstairs, just being kind to that little girl. And that girl may grow up to be one of the greatest Christians around. We don't know what God's doing, but we want to be busy about his work. Keep your heart open to service for the Lord. Keep your heart open to church membership, actively pursuing Christ. Again, it doesn't have to be this church, but it has to be a church someplace that you say, this is where I am going to commit myself to serve my Lord. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, for those first century Christians that literally turned their world upside down. Father, we want to be those people in our time that make a difference for you, that touch lives for your glory, that serve you with a heart devoted to you. Father, work in our hearts. Help us to continue to grow and to serve as long as we have breath. And Father, we'll give you the praise tonight in Jesus' holy name. Amen.